Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, how you doing?
Good afternoon, sir. I am doing well, and I wanted to tell you about yesterday evening. As you know, I went to the Sandy Springs Education Force 2014 STEM presentation recognition award thing just up the street here on Roswell Road at North Springs Community High School. It's a charter high school, and what an inspiring event that was. That was so much fun. I'm so glad that we've gotten involved with TAG.
And the STEM program is so important to the city and the country, really.
Well, and the focus. STEM, for those of you that don't know, stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And one of the highlights of the evening, there was a young lady from the area that has entered into a career in engineering, and she now is at Yellowstone National Park. She had the whole Smokey Bear Yellowstone uniform on, and she was describing how she made the migration from not really having a good feel at all for what she wanted to do with her career to learning more about engineering and then being involved with everything from water to electricity, to help our citizens see the national parks. And she had some great stories about getting chased by elks and and having to wait for the bison to cross the snow road and all that. But you could just see it in the eyes of the kids that were there. This was meaningful to them. It gave meaning to the whole idea of what you can really do with science and math. And so that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing that.
That's right. And anything we can do to help high schoolers stay in the sciences and technology programs is very important.
Anything we can do to support individuals in their pursuit, and I think this is one great way to do it. And also, not just youth, but also young organizations. That's why I get so fired up about working with startups. It's why I'm really enamored with the topic today, because today we're going to be talking about crowdfunding, which is a word you and I've heard thrown around quite a bit lately, but there's so much more to learn about it. There's some recent regulation, particularly here in the state, and we've got some folks here that have got a pretty good handle on it. So we have with us co-founder and COO with Spark Market, and we also have their marketing guru, Marcus Kennedy. So please join me in welcoming to the broadcast co-founder and COO Jeff Bakiris. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Stone. It's good to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Spark Market, you have decided this is a market that you're going to serve. Tell us a little bit about mission, purpose, and what you guys are up to.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to Lee as well for the invitation today. So I am the co-founder at Spark Market, and Spark Market is a crowdfunding platform that we started here in the state of Georgia, my co-founder Megan Johnson and I, about a year and a half ago. We are lawyers by training. I'm a securities lawyer, and my co-founder is in finance. We started our careers at an interesting time, actually, 2007, 2008, and we saw the entire roller coaster. Being transactional attorneys, I mean, we saw, the height of the bubble and then the quick crash. And one of the things that we saw was capital for small businesses dry up. The traditional accesses, sources of capital, banks, small bank, community banks, large banks, even alternative lenders, private equity. These just were channels that were not open to businesses that we were working with. And, we live in these communities. I mean, we live in Atlanta, and these are businesses that we patronize and that our neighbors and our friends and our family run and couldn't get access to capital. And so we were looking for something different. We watched this happen and unfold over the early parts of our careers, and we were looking for a way to help them. And starting a crowdfunding company here in Georgia was an avenue for us to try to help small and emerging businesses develop here, right here in the state of Georgia.
Now, could you talk a little bit about why you think that there is no traditional capital available? Because on one hand, you know, the banking and finance crash that occurred But then I thought that the government was pumping money into them to make that money available. Like, so you would think that there would be money for small businesses. Why is it not kind of trickling down to the small business person?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I, you know, we may not have long enough, you know, in this segment or you know, for the remainder of the year to explore that completely. But I think, you know, from just a macroeconomic perspective, when you have, and I'm a little bit outside of my comfort zone here, but when you're talking about what effectively is 0% interest rates being pumped into the banking system.
Right, you'd think that they'd want to make some loans.
Well,
right?
you would think that, Lee. You'd think that. But on the other hand, if you can borrow money from you know, Uncle Sam at 0.0% and turn around and loan it to him for 2%, then
so
maybe
you
don't
take
have
that
a, and exactly.
Then, and
you might
no
not,
risk, right?
Exactly right. You might not have a lot of motivation to turn around and make loans to small businesses and that might not, you know, have the traditional 100% offsetting collateral. So I think there are more complicated answers than that, but I do think that we live in a very risk averse environment in the commercial banking world right now, and folks need alternatives.
Now, Marcus, you are the marketing guy, so you probably Correct. Find yourself with several opportunities almost daily to just describe what crowdfunding really is. Can you kind of give us the primer, just the overview? What exactly is crowdfunding? How does it differ from some of the more traditional sources of crowdfunding? Get us centered here.
Okay. Well, when you think crowdfunding, first of all, I think I should say this. We're in a very early stage of crowdfunding. Right now, it's kind of... I always say it's akin to when people think Kleenex. They think Kleenex is tissue. It's synonymous. And right now, crowdfunding for most people is Kickstarter.
That's right.
So that's a form of crowdfunding. That's donation-based or reward-based crowdfunding. But in general, when we think crowdfunding, I like to take everyone to Sunday. Just think about going to your church and passing around the pan or whatever it is, and you make your donations to the church, and the church has a purpose for that money, and you're all contributing for that sole purpose. And that's what crowdfunding is. It's taking small capital, small donations of capital, accumulating it for a single purpose, and you know, acting on that accordingly. How it differs from traditional capital is we're taking out what I call gatekeepers, or we're taking out the banks. We're taking out institutions, and we're essentially relying on each other to form capital and put it to use for a variety of purposes. Again, for Kickstarter, a lot of that is artistic means. You know, it's projects. It's anything from there was a squirrel consensus. It was very popular. This happened in Emin Park, so it's relevant. Some gentlemen in Emin Park wanted to do a squirrel consensus. They wanted to, census. They wanted to figure out how many squirrels were in Emin Park. How possible that is, I don't know. But people contributed. In tens of thousands, they contributed.
Wow.
So I think it's important, you know, what we do at Spark Market, people think small business and they think equity crowdfunding. And, you know, that's a different kind of crowdfunding. I mentioned donation reward-based crowdfunding. And what we do is equity crowdfunding as well as donation and rewards crowdfunding. But when people think the sort of crowdfunding we do, they think return on investment. They think of that as a primary motivation for people to crowdfund. I contend that it's participation. So that's why people do the squirrel census. They want to be a part of something that's cool. It doesn't exist, sounds cool. I want to be a part of it, and I want to tell people that I'm a part of it. So... long-winded answer. I don't know if that kind of addresses.
Well, it was very helpful for me because the analogy was helpful for me to church, because I know at church, although from week to week, sometimes I just thump the plate. So some weeks are leaner than others.
Right.
But my return on investment, my ROI, really is largely having the opportunity to participate in a community of folks that have similar value system.
Right.
And I want to try to conduct my life along those same lines. And so, you know, ideally there's some spiritual growth and development of
Absolutely.
Relationships and all that. My question is this: in equity-based crowdfunding, is my return on investment like tied to a it's a percentage of the company, percentage of profits? Does it look a lot like other equity positions?
Right, like is a reward equity or is the reward a dividend? How does that work?
Sure. So in really the universe is even broader than saying equity-based crowdfunding. It's really securities-based
right.
crowdfunding.
Right.
So you know, I mean. Securities-based crowdfunding, the universe of what a business can sell is pretty broad. I mean, it can sell just common stock, equity in the business. It can sell preferred stock, maybe that has a different voting rights or a different rate of return that's attached to it. You can sell notes. There's no reason why you can't go out and crowdfund and sell individual notes at $100 or $500 a piece to your customer base and your friends and family at small rate of return, you know, probably unsecured loans, and, you know, beats the heck out of the terms you got on your SBA loan. So, you know, that you can have them non-voting. You can, the securities, you can have them redeemable after 12, 18, 24 months at a fixed price or a percentage of the business. You can do profits interest. So what you can sell in a securities-based crowdfund is really limited by the imagination of the business owner and what their needs are at that time.
Now, is that part of the value that Spark Market provides to a person that's considering this, that you can help counsel them into the right, what's the right kind of product to crowdfund?
Absolutely. We talk to all different types of businesses who are thinking about doing a securities-based crowdfund. And, you know, we're gaining expertise. I mean, there's nobody in this industry that's an expert. Be skeptical of anybody who tells you they're a crowdfunding expert. We are, I would like to think of us as informed enthusiasts.
Yeah. There are experts, gurus, ninjas. I mean, you think of the descriptive term and someone's using it out there, so.
Exactly.
But it's still uncharted waters, right? This is all, we're kind of forming this as we go at this point, right?
We are, and the really cool thing right now is we got a seat at the head of the table in the state of Georgia because of the forward-thinking laws that our securities administrators put in place here to allow us to do securities-based crowdfunding in Georgia essentially before anywhere else in the country.
So the rules are different here than they are here in just like one other state, right? Like Kansas or something?
It's spreading now. Mm-hmm. Marcus knows of some other initiatives, but it's spreading. When this started, when we founded Spark Market about a year and a half ago, Georgia and Kansas were the only two states in the country. That has since spread now to cover Michigan and Wisconsin. And we work with legislatures and legislators in other states to try to expand this concept. And there are known initiatives now in Alabama, Maryland, Maine, Colorado, Texas, and I think I'm even missing one or two other states. So the concept is spreading now.
Now, and it's not, and federally there are some laws around this too, but Georgia has their own unique carve-outs, or they have different rules than the federal laws?
They do. It's not preempted. It's not law that's preempted, and so the Georgia securities administrators have their circle.
Right. There's rules for Georgia. That are different than the federal laws.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. It's a sort of, we call it dual jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And as long as you keep your offering within the state of Georgia, your securities offering,
then everything's fine.
That's exactly right.
But if you were in Hawaii and tried to do Georgia, you couldn't do that because the rules are only for Georgia companies and Georgia investments.
Residents.
Is that right?
Georgia residents and Georgia companies. You're right. There are differences in the legal structure, and Jeff's an expert on that, and I always defer to him on that. But I think there's something that Georgia entrepreneurs who are considering crowdfunding should know, and that's the cost. The cost is very favorable for us in Georgia. So there are a lot of people who are waiting on the sidelines for that national legislation to go in effect, and that's known as the Jobs Act. I think people should understand that intrastate crowdfunding, which is, what we operate under, is advantageous. And we hope as time, develops and evolves to help illuminate and highlight those differences. But one of the key things is the cost structure versus what we do in the Invest Georgia exemption versus the Jobs Act.
Now, Marcus, you have a walking, talking case study right here in the studio, a poster child for this thing. How about let's introduce him and get some of his perspective?
Yeah. Spark Market, we went live October the 3rd of last year. And the campaign that we went live with was with a company by the name of Bohemian Guitars. They're owned and operated by a pair of brothers, Adam Lee and his brother Sean. We're lucky enough to have Adam here, and we'd love to hear Adam on his experience and, share the good word, Adam.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here today. Yeah, so Bohemian Guitars is one of those companies that's taken advantage of crowdfunding from doing a proof of concept on Kickstarter last year, rolled it into Spark Market at the end of last year. And it was purely because of the difficulty to get financing from banks. You know, we go into most of the big banks and we'd receive a common response that we need to have $1 million in revenue before they can help us. Well, you know, that's why I'm here.
I need a million in revenue. That's exactly what I need.
Perfect. We're on the same page.
So, you know, we went to a lot of music conferences and tech conferences on the West Coast to kind of make connections, figure, you know, learn the startup world. And the number one question we got when we showed people our product was, how much did you raise on Kickstarter? At the time, we hadn't really thought about it. You know, Kickstarter was really big up in New York and on the West Coast, but it was still, you know, people were still becoming familiar with crowdfunding in Atlanta. So after some research, we realized it was the perfect avenue for us to go to first, you know, test the market, and if it works out, we'll raise enough to produce some guitars.
Now, so what is your product? Is it guitar? It's actual guitars?
Yeah, our products are electric guitars, but we use unconventional materials. The bodies of our guitars started off as one-of-a-kind vintage oil cans and gas cans, and we used Kickstarter to develop our own line of cans.
So now Kickstarter is a good venue for that because that allows you to kind of pre-sell something, right? You can put it out there, and then if it gets funded, then you can produce it. You don't have to produce it first and then get funded.
Yeah, correct. So it hedges your risk. You know, if your goal is to raise $50,000 and, you know, that will allow you to produce 1,000 units and you only raise $48,000, you don't get any money. No one loses any money, but no one gets any product. So, you know, that may be the validation you need to go and proceed with different avenues of financing. But, yeah, it's really risk-free and a great marketing platform and also a great way to raise money.
Now, what was your raise? What were you shooting for on your Kickstarter campaign?
The raise was $32,000 and we raised just the goal was $32,000 and we raised just under $55,000.
Nicely played.
So now, can you walk us through, was that your first time ever doing that?
Yeah, that was the first time we had done that.
So what are some tips and tricks that you learned, maybe some scar tissue from going through that process? Because a lot of, I would imagine, probably the majority don't hit their target.
Yeah, the majority don't hit their target. And, you know, a lot of this can also be applied to, you know, both rewards-based and equity-type raise on a platform like Spark Market. But you can never do enough planning. You know, there's always going to be unknown costs along the way that you need to factor into your target. But there's also tremendous upfront costs from marketing.
Because you have to make a video, you have to do some stuff, right, in order to attract people to even consider your offering.
Exactly. So you have to produce a video, but you don't want to produce a killer video because then people think you've already got money. You know, they're like, well, this guy just produced a $25,000 video.
Why they need my money, yeah. Right?
So, you know, you've got to, from publicity, you've got to maybe work with a PR firm to help you with a press release. I mean, there's lots of low-cost services out there that, you know, are designed specifically for crowdfunding.
So now what do you think got you to the point where people funded it? Like, how'd you get the momentum?
Yeah, you know, prior to the launch, we had a lot of friends and family gatherings where we would tell them exactly what we're doing, kind of educate them on crowdfunding, educate them why we're using Kickstarter and what we're going to use the money for, and pretty much telling them that, you know, they don't need to back the campaign with their dollars, but just sharing our link, spreading the word, sending emails, you know, as soon as we launch, we'll just spiral and start to make it viral. And
well, that's what you hope. I'm sure everybody goes in there hoping that's the case.
Exactly. But, you know, we had been really pressing them for 2 months. You know, we were pretty confident that they would at the very least share it. And then anyone who backed it out of that group was just a bonus.
All right. I want to turn on the Wayback Machine just a little bit. I want to back up even before this. Two things. Number one, you said you're in business with your brother.
Yes.
So I'm trying to envision that. I have a brother, and we get along reasonably well. There's some things I don't like about him. He's younger, he's better looking, he makes more money. But in general, we get along okay. I can't see us running a business together, so I want to ask about that first. What is that like, trying to run a business with a sibling?
Yeah, we both got expertise in our own domains. He won't have me in the workshop because I don't have the skills to use some of the power tools and machinery he's using. You know, I don't have the finesse.
There's too much liability risk to have you in there.
Exactly, exactly. He'd have to do too much rework. And on the business side of things, you know, my background's project management, so I'm pretty OCD when it comes to the details and planning things out and scheduling, and it just meshes well together.
Okay, and then from a sales and marketing perspective, I'm trying to picture those first few meetings when you went to speak to anybody and said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take oil cans.
You know guitars, right?
And you've
you know
seen
oil
guitars.
Cans.
What was that
like? That Reese's moment, right? Chocolate and peanut butter?
Yeah, that's part of the reason we had to do crowdfunding because, you know, the investor looks at you and he's like, I don't see you selling tens of millions of these. And, you know, you look at him and say, I'll be happy selling 10,000 of them, you know. But that was the problem. You know, we were really the only ones who saw the vision initially. And we took it to the crowd and, you know, hundreds of other people saw the vision as well. Yeah.
So now what was it like when you flip that button and it goes live and, you know, you're sitting there like, okay. Like, because you don't know for sure it's going to work, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Are you watching that thing like every minute? You're going, how many we got?
Yeah, I don't think I slept for the first week, you know, because we launched it at midnight. So we were up at midnight, you know, through the morning. And then
when did the first hit come in that somebody actually?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, my dad, a couple of our other friends' dads immediately bought guitars as soon as it switched.
And what was the guitar? What was that pricing?
The early bird special was $270.
So 270. So now you're counting 270s, right?
Yeah.
And then at what point did you think like, hey, we got a chance. This thing might get funded.
I honestly always thought it would get funded. I was surprised at how little we actually.
So you were disappointed.
I was disappointed with the total. I thought it would just go bust and just, you know, blow our target out of the water. So, you know, looking back on it, although it was a success, I would do it totally differently.
Now, there's a lot going on right now in this ecosystem. There's conferences, there's panel discussions, there's radio shows, there's articles, that kind of stuff. Tell us about some of the things that are happening in the coming months that you're aware of. Like, you're booked as a speaker at an upcoming conference. There's the Crowdfunding USA conference, May 1st and 2nd. You're going to be speaking there. Speak to some of that, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. So the interest is really spinning up in this topic in a lot of different circles. I mean, when we first started speaking about this topic a year or so ago, there was only kind of a hardcore constituency of folks who knew about Facebook who knew about Kickstarter and largely in the tech community who were followers of devotees of crowdfunding, and they all kind of got it. And so speaking to entrepreneurial circles and tech circles first was where we really found a sympathetic audience and folks that were going to kind of go out there and spread the word about, particularly from our perspective, about the cool laws that we have in Georgia.
Right.
And, you know, and then it kind of, we were able to kind of start getting that message out to industry professionals, other attorneys, accountants, folks, you know, who are going to be kind of collateral service providers to these businesses, either during the crowdfund or helping them with investor. Exactly.
Right.
Going going forward after they've closed around. And then we started to kind of reach those folks. And now, you know, we're kind of getting a broader audience to get out to the investing public, which really is the most important thing here because, you know, although we have some really cool developments happening in the industry and particularly in the state of Georgia, if we don't get folks to support these campaigns, then it's all academic.
Right.
So
it sounds good on paper, but if they're not really going to write some checks, then
That's right. That's exactly right. And you know, our thesis at Spark Market is we've got to activate what we're calling this new investor class. Mm-hmm. And it's folks that are, you know, primarily in the middle class, and they've watched their money go up and down on Wall Street, you know, in a roller coaster ride, particularly over the last 7 years. They've got, you know, friends, family, and neighbors and folks that are in their community that are doing cool things.
And they should support them.
That's exactly
right.
And
this is a great way of supporting them.
Yeah. It's kind of a double mission, you know.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you're looking for a rate of return, but you also want this thing to exist, you know. And that's what crowdfunding is about. And so to answer your question, Stone, I mean, it seems to be more and more. We've got the conference coming up. It'll be a large conference in May in the Cobb Galleria. And I'm also doing speaking to business school students at Georgia State and Georgia Tech, and yeah, and so you know those invitations are coming in, and we do a lot of speaking to individual groups. I'm speaking to Georgia Real Estate Investors Association coming up, and so you know if we can get a room with 25-30 folks in it, we view that as an opportunity to get the wider word out.
Now, is it in Georgia? It seems like a double-edged sword. Like they had the foresight to have this law and pass this law and to get, be open to it. But historically, Georgia has been a kind of a real estate developer kind of investor, who, they don't lose all their money typically if an investment goes bad. Where in some of these, you're investing in startups and things like that. That there's a lot of, you hit a home run or you might strike out and you could lose all your money. Is that a challenge in this environment as well?
It's definitely a challenge, and there's no doubt about it. And one of the things that I actually have found pretty encouraging in this process is, kind of come at your question from a little bit of a different direction, but one of the things that I've been encouraged about is just how much ordinary folks who are interested in this and supporting these deals, how much diligence they're doing. Mm-hmm. On these deals. It's incredible. I mean, there's something really interesting about the psychology there, that somebody will give $100 to a cause on Kickstarter and never think about it again, and the money kind of disappears and they'll just click yes and then that's the end of it. But when you ask them to invest $100 in a business, boy, they're asking questions. They're knocking on your door. They are calling you up. They're texting you.
Absolutely.
They want to know what kind of car you're driving. You know what I mean? And this is good, right? This is really good,
right?
Because this means that these people are doing, diligence on these deals. And I would argue that that's, one of the reasons why, in some respects, these crowdfunding transactions could really be, investments that people can interact with more and kick the tires more. I mean, you really can't, if you're going to send your money to a ticker symbol on Wall Street, you really can't do that kind of kick in the tires.
Right. And the engagement, when they invest in a company like Adams, they feel like it's part, now their
Absolutely.
Cheerleaders are going out of their way to tell people, like you're getting a sales force in addition to
yes.
just an investor sometimes.
Actually, I think it's very important for people and I'm talking for investors who would consider investing in community entrepreneurs. I think it's important. I think that word community is very important. And that community can be where you're geographically located at, or it can just be an interest that you're in. Let's say I'm interested in guitars and I follow that feverishly. That's a community. And I can look at Bohemian Guitars and play it and hear the sound, the difference that it makes. I'm an informed investor in that sense, and I can make a informed decision. Well, of course I have to look at Adam from a business perspective as well. Like, do his numbers make sense? And you'll do that due diligence. That's what Jeff was speaking to. But my point here is I think it's important that people approach this from a community standpoint. Invest in the things that you're familiar with. From an interest standpoint or community. I live in Candler Park. There's a neighborhood coffee shop that I go to, and I'm in there several times a day. As a result of that, I know the owner, and many people in their neighborhoods and their communities have that same experience. And through these interactions, you're an informed investor, more so than you would be if I just arbitrarily pick something on our website. And by all means, I would recommend that people take the opportunity to invest in those things that they're a part of, where they're participating in that community. And I think that in due time will lead the way forward in this. And that's part of the Spark Market philosophy, where we view ourselves as a community investment platform, a marketplace for Georgia residents to invest in Georgia entrepreneurs. And it's, again, all about community for us.
Now, Adam, why didn't you just do another Kickstarter rather than doing, an equity-based raise?
Sure. Most people who do a Kickstarter for the first time, I would imagine, miss some planning and identified expenses along the way and probably end up breaking even or even losing, you know, coming out as a loss after their Kickstarter. So, you know, we didn't end up with as much cash on hand as we were hoping for to expand and grow the business. That was, you know, that'd be one of those things I'd go back and spend a little bit more time on.
It's that math.
It's the math. But it's also
important.
But also, you know, first time entrepreneurs fail to account for potential customs penalties, you know, things like that. So, oh, here's $1,700 to get our goods out of customs. And there's a lot of different, you know, costs we didn't take into account. But crowdfunding is going to play a core role in what we do. You know, so when we come out with a new product, we'll test it through crowdfunding and take pre-orders through crowdfunding, as opposed to going and investing, you know, $100K in a production run and we don't know if anyone wants it.
Right, that build it and they will come.
Exactly.
Doesn't work as well as just throw it out there on a crowdfunding site and then let's see if they come.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is an ongoing strategy for you, not a one-time thing. Say more about that.
Yeah, it's an ongoing strategy. We've got another rewards-based campaign in the works. Completely left-wing. No one was going to expect to see what we're about to release.
It's banjos.
It's not banjos. you know, that'll come at some point, but it's more on the tech side of things now. But yeah, it's going to be a core philosophy in our business plan and our future. And, you know, it's so much so that, you know, the sharks on Shark Tank are looking for projects that have been crowdfunded because it provides them with that social proof they're looking for. And it's because of that we're actually working with one of the sharks. He's impressed
really?
With what
nice.
We've done. So it's, you know, it eliminates a lot of the checks he has to do and due diligence he has to do because there's no vetting of a business like a crowdfunded project.
It's kind of like outsourcing the production development process.
Right, you already know this has some traction.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Actually, in Israel, GE, General Electric, recently invested in a platform over there. I think it's important that people understand this is global. By the World Bank's estimation, 27 nations are engaging in some form of equity crowdfunding. But to my original point, GE recently invested in an Israeli crowdfunding platform. For that purpose, they're looking to find a market to kind of figure out what sort of things are a thumbs up or a thumbs down before they invest in focus groups and some of that stuff that Adam was just recently talking about.
Now, what brought you to Spark Market?
Yeah, so I was asked to attend a local crowdfunding meetup at the Atlanta Technology Village, talk about my experience with Kickstarter. And it was through that I first learned about IGE and the Invest Georgia exemption. And
so you were aware of Kickstarter, but you weren't aware of the opportunity in Georgia?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the Georgia opportunity. I was aware of other equity platforms that, you know, were doing some sort of deal, but you know, still waiting for the Jobs Act. And it was, you know, through a connection that I and Jeff share that I met Jeff and, you know, got introduced to Spark Market.
And then so you had already had some level of success with crowdfunding through rewards. So this intellectually wasn't that big of a leap then, right?
Yeah, you know, we had learned a lot since our first crowdfunding campaign, and we knew that this would be a different challenge, especially being the first to try it out on their platform. But, you know, Jeff and his team put a lot of effort in and interest in, you know, making sure that we fully understood what was involved in getting a deal like this done, why it was so meaningful to the state of Georgia and to other people trying to crowdfund around the country. And it was just one of those opportunities we just saw as a really high ROI for us.
So now what did you crowdfund? What type of security?
Yeah, we offered our preferred stock.
Preferred stock. So you gave up equity in the firm?
Yeah, we gave up something like just under 9% of the company.
And how did you come to that? Did he counsel you on that, or you had lawyers, or you just did it amongst you and your brother?
You know, Jeff provided his thoughts, but, you know, there's got to be that line of separation. So he's not significantly involved in deals, just more from a outsider perspective. But, you know, we do have legal counsel, and we did have a local firm, you know, review our offering and give us their stamp of approval.
So now you give up 9%, and then how many people invested in this?
Yeah, we had 6 investors. 3 of them were non-accredited.
And so now you have 6 more mouths to feed?
6 more mouths to feed.
Now, are they constantly going, "Hey, Adam, what's going on? How many cans we got out this week?" You know, like, is that? I mean, I could see that as part of a negative of a crowdfund is now I got, you know, more people that are asking me about my business.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a couple of interested investors who were going to invest the minimum, and we saw that as potentially was going to be too much of a management hassle for us for mm-hmm. that. So, you know, we didn't take their investment, but they're, you know, the 6 people that, you know, bought in this round, you know, we do call them, ask them for their opinion. They each have different experiences, different expertise that they can share. You know, obviously our goals are mutually aligned. So, you know, if they pick up the phone and want to check in, you know, if I'll answer it or I'll call them back.
Now, were these complete strangers to you? Or had you already known about them and then you just gave them an avenue to invest?
Yeah, so most of the people that invested, 5 out of the 6, I wouldn't have thought were going to. One of them was a complete stranger. I had some sort of a connection to everyone else, which is what's required in, you know, one of these crowdfunding campaigns. It's on a portal that's just launching. You really have to depend on your own network.
Right.
So, you know, I had done a lot of reaching out, traditional tactics, you know, meeting for coffee, talking on the phone, follow-up meetings. It was a lot of groundwork that I put in to get people interested. And, you know, we didn't have any guaranteed money before Spark Market. You know, everyone committed after we launched.
Now, when you were talking with them, it seems like you don't have to pick everybody who picks you, right? So you can choose not to take somebody's investment. It's not like in Kickstarter, you know, anybody throws in $50, they're going to get the T-shirt, right? Like, this isn't that way.
Yeah, that was, you know, just our decision. Most campaigns, you know, our minimum buy-in was $1,000. So, you know, from the get-go, we had already eliminated a group of people that would have potentially invested right. at 100 or 300 or 500. But, yeah, our goal going into it was try and get a small group of shareholders through this.
All right, so I want to dive into some nuts and bolts of using the platform, if we can, a little bit. So let's say that Lee and I want to do banjos. We're going to compete with him. What happens now? We get a video together. We get on the website. Walk us through the nuts and bolts, one or both of you.
Okay. The first thing you want to do is you want to come to Spark Market and you want to sign up. And you'll contact us, of course, and you'll have a question. You'll say, "Hey, Marcus, I'm looking at crowdfunding some banjos," and I'll try not to laugh. No.
You'll say, "Hey, we might be able to help you with that."
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
If they're funding
right.
squirrel counting,
yes,
I think
exactly.
on the table.
Exactly, and that's a solid point.
Don't you dare enter our market.
I'll warn you about Bohemian Guitars and how they have the strong presence in Atlanta, but
right.
We'll move on from that. And Jeff, Megan, or myself will talk to you about your idea. We want to know what we're working with.
So this is kind of high touch, at least at the front end. This is not just a web-based transaction in and out.
Yeah, kind of we have a model right now where we want to be a highly curated site. We want to protect our brand. We want to protect, and that's from being selfish, but more altruistic, we want to protect the Invest Georgia exemption. This is brand new. This is a touch and go for a lot of people. There are right. a lot of eyes on all parties who participate. So we want to keep out the potentially shady characters. So, yeah, we want to run them through the ringer, absolutely. It's not invasive. We're not probing, but we do want to ask some questions, and we want to get some smart answers back.
I hadn't thought of that, but there's a lot at stake here for the
absolutely.
Entire crowdfunding.
Right, the ecosystem.
Business community.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. They want people to succeed. I mean, that's why we're doing this, right?
That's absolutely. Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, we want to list deals that are good quality deals that are going to close. I mean,
and plus the investor makes their money or, you know, profits.
Yeah.
Everybody's rooting for that.
Everybody's yes. rooting for that, of course. Yeah.
Well, and, I meant to address risk a little bit, and then kind of halfway through the conversation, I decided not to ask the question about risk because it dawned on me. I mean, as much as I applaud what legislature has done with respect to these rules, I mean, I can go to Vegas right now and throw down as much as I want to on red, And there's no rule.
You don't need accreditation for that.
I don't even have any rules on this stuff.
And you know what? To that point, I don't know if we've mentioned it this far, but there is a different type of investor. And what's really different about what's happening now, because crowdfunding has essentially happened forever. It's just been in, I like to say, smoke-filled rooms with with people who are known as accredited investors. And those are people who either have $1 million of wealth, excluding their primary residence, or they make $200,000 in income for the last 2 years. So they're known as accredited investors. So these were the type of people who invested in Mark Zuckerberg and made Facebook. And this has been going on forever. But what's different is now Joe Schmoes, myself included, can now invest in a company like Bohemian Guitars, whereas before we were excluded from that. And Jeff and I like to joke that we're often offended when we read people talk about risk and they say, well, unaccredited investors or non-accredited investors, they're not able to make these decisions. We're offended because I'm a non-accredited investor. But I've, you know, I went to college. I think I'm kind of smart a little bit.
Yeah, I want them to hold the casinos to that same standard. Yeah, and let every person who enters a casino be an accredited investor.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Because I can go to a casino with my credit card, max it out, lose everything in 2 seconds, and leave. And that's okay in the eyes of, you know, the United States government, right?
Yeah, I love that analogy. I love it because, I mean, that's the thing that seems so, you know, paternalistic and strange to us about this is the notion that, you know, somebody is intelligent enough to make a decision with their money about whether or not they want to go into a casino or buy lottery tickets or whatever.
Right.
But you're not going to make the assumption that they are smart
enough.
The corner
coffee shop is worth investing in.
Exactly.
I'm too much of a moron to know that even though I go there every day and I see the line out the door.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly right.
And the truth is, a guy like me, I'm not a professional gambler. If I gamble, we're going to Vegas to do a remote broadcast before long. It's one of the reasons that Vegas is on my mind.
Awesome.
But yeah, we're going to have a blast, man. But I'm not a professional gambler, so I'm going to set aside X amount of money.
Yes.
I'm going to go play blackjack. I'm going to lose it in all likelihood, and then I'm going to be done. I don't know anything about the guitar business, but I'd like to think, you know what? I got $1,000. It'd be kind of cool to tell all my friends, hey, you ought to see this thing I'm investing. I'm an investor in this thing. I may not even be investing to get a financial return.
Absolutely.
It's like you were telling me, I want to be part of the community.
Yes.
I want to have something to talk about at the cocktail party. I want to show them the guitar I like best.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like we ought to be able to do that.
If I can defer to the international example, the international precedent, you know, they've been doing this in the UK since 2011. And I think that's something that's not talked about enough here. We act like
it's new.
It's brand new. This has been going on. And it's been going on in Australia for even longer, for 7 years. And the experience, the intelligence that we're starting to get back from their analysis is that the average investor is but they're contributing $500, essentially. So, again, that kind of falls under that I got a certain amount to set aside, and what would I be doing with that anyway? I'd be buying a TV or something. I'm going to put it in the coffee shop. I'm going to put it in the banjo. And, you know, they're making a decision that's with their you know, it's with their disposable income. And who's to say they can't do that?
Right.
And I think people need to think along those lines. People aren't going to be donating tens of thousands of dollars if they don't have it. It's just counterintuitive. So,
but we'll take what we can while we have it. And I do think we're fortunate that the legislature has stepped up and they've given us a wider berth that a lot of folks are enjoying in other states. And I think we're absolutely blessed for that to be the case. And I love having these conversations. I'm hoping that we get an opportunity to bring more folks on as they come through the Spark Market system and hear their story. That's, I think we're planning to do that periodically.
Crowdfunding is a topic of interest for us and our listeners.
And like, have you come in periodically, get us caught up, and then have, you know, like a successful campaign or an unsuccessful campaign or what? I think that's going to be fun.
Absolutely. We would love to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And part of the cool thing about this is, you see, we one of the greatest parts of my job right now is getting an opportunity to interact with people in so many different industries. I mean, you know, Adam is making, you know, fantastic, really cool electric guitars, and they're branching out into new things. We're talking to a movie production company that's thinking about doing a crowdfunding a film. We're talking to a microbrewery. You know, we're talking to you know, just a small little provision store here in Atlanta. We're talking to a farmers co-op, farm to table type organization. It's a fantastic cross section of folks that are looking into this, and it's really going to generate a lot of interest.
Right, and so, you don't know what's going to be next, because I'm sure when you were drawing up your plans for this, you weren't going, well, the first thing we'll probably fund is some oil can guitar. Right? Sure, that wasn't on the whiteboard, right?
I wish I could say yes to that.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's wide open.
It is wide open.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, our platform is a generalist platform. I mean, we like to hear and evaluate and possibly post campaigns from a wide cross section. There are portals out there that are just doing specific industries, and that's great too.
Right.
You know, I mean, we want to see those succeed as well.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Adam, you have a website for your what's going on in your world?
Yeah, you can check out our guitars and story at bohemianguitars.com.
And then there might be future offerings ahead, right?
There might be future offerings. Sign up for that email subscription list.
All right. And Marcus, you want to share the Spark Market coordinates?
Yeah. You can find us on the normal social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, and the website is sparkmarket.com.
And Jeff, do you know the website for the event that's coming up?
I don't know the website off the top of my head. Like,
sure,
I said,
you
I know.
Do.
Oh, I do.
It's Stone
to the rescue.
Jeff wants you to know that you can go to crowdfundingxe.com.
All right, and you're going to be there, and you're available to speak on crowdfunding and anybody who's interested in
Absolutely.
Having you.
Absolutely, anytime.
Good 10 people in a room, and we're there.
All right. Well, thank you all for being part of this discussion. I think crowdfunding's going to be on the horizon lots in the coming months and years. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.